Glad to see each of you out here this morning. A special service we had prior to this. It was truly special. Look out and my wife's not here. Usually sitting right there. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to look right at Becky. My tie gets a little crooked, Becky. I want you, or my nose needs to be wiped. You just give me the word, and I know she will. I know she'll be quick to do that. That's what my wife does, so I need that. But it was a special service, and I'm thankful for my brother. I'm thankful for the words of testimony that he gave. And as he mentioned, I was supposed to be a part of that, and I realized that. I realized that quite some time ago, and believe that I was putting a test, as I testified before, a test before my Lord, probably because I really didn't want the responsibility of becoming an elder. So I believe I put that test to the Lord that it would be confirmed through my brother Randy, probably because I thought it wouldn't be, probably because I didn't really want that responsibility, but it did come, and the Lord did come through and give me the testimony that I need. I'm going to start my sermon out of the Book of Mormon, and I'm going to start on page 315. I'm going to read three very important questions. You all have heard these questions before, but I'm going to rehearse them to you again, because I believe they're some of the most important questions that we can ever ask ourselves, and are questions that we need to ask ourselves daily. Starting with the 27th verse. And now behold, I ask you, my brethren of the church, have you spiritually been born of God? Have you received His image in your countenances? Have you experienced this mighty change in your heart? And I believe of those three verses, I don't believe, I know, that of those three verses, the most important one is the 29th verse. Have you experienced this mighty change in your heart? And it's a question that we can only ask ourselves. And we need to ask ourselves that question daily. And if the answer is no, then we need to ask ourselves, why not? Why haven't we experienced this mighty change in our heart? And I believe that the majority of people here have been spiritually born of God. I believe that most of us here belong to this church, have been baptized, have taken upon us the name of Jesus Christ. And you might say that, well, I've been baptized. But that's not the mighty change. That is not the mighty change. In baptism, we went down to the waters of baptism, and we know for a fact that our sins were forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ. And it caused us to be exhilarated, filled with joy, filled with happiness, really alive, knowing that our sins have been forgiven. And it fills our hearts with that love. But does that change our hearts? Does that change our hearts? You know, we felt through that gift and through baptism our humility. And we felt overwhelming thankfulness for what the Lord has done for us. And it may have changed our countenances. We may have put on that face that we should have, that confident face, that happy face. We may have shown that, and we should be showing that to others. But have we experienced a mighty And I'm not talking about a change in our heart. It says a mighty change in our hearts. What is this change? I'm going to read out of the Book of Mormon. Turn back to 3:13. I'm going to start with the 8th verse. And now behold, I say unto you, my brethren, you that belong to this church. People have already been baptized. People just like you and I. Have you sufficiently retained a remembrance of the captivity of your fathers? Yea, have you sufficiently retained in remembrance His mercy and long-suffering towards them? And moreover, have you sufficiently retained in remembrance that He has changed their souls, delivered their souls from hell? Behold, He changed their hearts. He changed their hearts. And He awakened them out of a deep sleep, and they awoke unto God. Behold, they were in the midst of darkness. Nevertheless, their souls were illuminated by the light of the everlasting Word. Yea, they were encircled about by the bands of death and the chains of hell, and an everlasting destruction did await them. And now I ask of you, my brethren, were they destroyed? Behold, I say unto you, nay, they were not. Again I ask, were the bands of death broken and the chains of hell which encircled them, were they loosed? And I say unto you, yea, they were loosed. And their souls did expand and they did sing a redeeming love. And now I say unto you that they are saved. And now I ask of you, on what conditions are they saved? Yea, what grounds had they hope for salvation? For what cause of their being loose from the bands of death, yea, also the chains of hell? Behold, I can tell you, did not my father Alma believe in the words which were delivered by the mouth of Abinadi? And was he not a holy prophet? Did he not speak the words of God, and my father believe them? According to his faith, there was a mighty change wrought in his heart. Behold, I say unto you that this is all true. And behold, he preached the word unto your fathers, and what? A mighty change was also wrought in their hearts. And they humbled themselves and put their trust in the true and living God. And behold, they were fruitful unto the end. Therefore, they were saved. Now read on again. And now behold, I ask of you, my brethren, the same people that were baptized. These are members of the church. Have you spiritually been born of God? Yes. Have you received His image in your countenances? Maybe. Have you experienced, this mighty change in your heart? Maybe. Maybe not. To me, this mighty change in our heart, what it means, what it is the perfecting of our souls. That's that mighty change. The perfecting of our souls. You know, years ago, and it has been a number of years ago, I attended, as a number of us did, a class at Tony Grinzik's house. Not necessarily his house. Actually, the meeting I remember was at Mike and Belinda's house when they lived up on, was it 43rd Street or 44th Street? And we attended those meetings for quite some time. A long time. And it was primarily a class for people who one member was a member of the Church of Christ and the other part of the family was not. And I was not at that time. And we were attending, and there was Mike and Belinda and myself and Melissa and Sherry and Jim, and I can't name you who else, but I remember Sherry and Jim. I remember Jim specifically because we were discussing becoming perfect. I remember, you know, there's a lot of things I can't remember. And they seemingly are very important things. I have a hard time remembering, to my shame, when I was ordained to be a priest. I can't bring that fully back to my mind. And other things that should be really bright, but this is, I remember that like it was, I just came up from downstairs. I remember that meeting. And I remember our brother Jim at the end of the meeting saying, "Sorry, but I don't believe we can be perfect." And you know, I didn't say much. I was a very quiet person. I was bashful. I was shy. I still basically am bashful and shy, but I talk a lot more now anyway. But I didn't say anything. I mean, but I can remember going away from that meeting saying, "I agree with Jim. I agree with Jim. I can't be perfect. I cannot be perfect." And I can stand, honestly stand before you this morning, and don't act shocked, please don't act shocked, saying the same thing, that I cannot be perfect. But I can look out there with a confidence and tell you without a fact, with it, knowing as a fact that I can be perfected. And knowing as a fact that you can't be perfect, but knowing also that you can be perfected. I know for a fact that your heart and your soul can be perfected through the love of Jesus Christ. And it doesn't come in spite of us. It comes about because of how we prepare our hearts to receive that Spirit, and to receive that perfecting Spirit that comes from the Lord. You know, I've said this over and over and over to my Sunday school class, and I preached it, and I told them that this is the end product, the perfecting of your soul, the perfecting of your heart. That's what this whole gospel of Jesus Christ is about. It's not about you being baptized as the end product and realizing that Jesus is your Savior. That's just the beginning. The end product is your soul perfected in His love. And if you seek anything less than that perfection in your life, if you come out here Sunday mornings and Sunday evenings and Wednesday evenings and you attend a women's meeting and you attend whatever's going on with anything less than the idea of having your soul perfected in Jesus Christ's love, you're missing it. We all are missing the point. And if me as a minister project anything less in this ministry, then I'm not doing what I was called to do. And I hope and pray that I will always, always stand up here and be able to preach that to you and give you that knowledge. You look to the end. You look to the end, and that's the perfecting of your soul through His Spirit. Not because of anything that you can do for yourself, but because of His Spirit. I want to turn into my Bible. Into Revelations. Third chapter. You know what I'm going to read. You know what I'm going to read. Thank you. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that there were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods. This is the church. This is us. This is the church, not so very different than us. In fact, it is alarmingly the same. Alarmingly the same. And we are rich with goods. And we are rich with ministry, with people, with a church, with locals all over. We have it. You know, we are rich with goods and have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. That gold is his spirit, nothing less, not anything more. And white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. I'm sorry. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about nakedness and the shame. He's talking about when Christ comes again. When he comes again, are we going to be clothed with his spirit? Are we going to be naked? Is our heart going to be perfected? Are we going to be satisfied with, I'm baptized, I thank the Lord for that. He forgave my sins. My sins are forgiven. I know that. He wants more than that. He wants the perfecting of your heart. He wants the perfecting of my heart. And anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Be zealous and know what the end product he is, he wants from you. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in into him and will sup with him and he with me. And I will grant, and to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with the Father in his throne. What is it we're to overcome? I want to turn back into Matthew. The fifth chapter. This is exactly what we read so many years ago in that class. This is, we read the 48th verse of the fifth chapter of Romans. And it says, be ye therefore perfect, even as our Father which is in heaven is perfect. And that's possible. Not for me to be perfect, but I can become perfect. I can become perfected. As our Father in heaven is will allow me to be perfected, as I prepare myself to be perfected. I promised my Sunday school class that we were going to have an ordination and I would try to keep my sermon short. Ammon, I'm not going to renege on that. I'm going to do that. I'm going to keep it as short as I possibly can. But I want to read the 38th through the 48th verse of that same chapter. Ye have heard that hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say unto you that ye resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him another. And if a man shall sue thee at the law and take away thy cloak, let him have thy cloak also. And can you do that? And more important than can you do that, okay? More importantly than can you do that, because I believe each one of us here can do that. Do you want to do that? That's the question. Not can I do it? Because we can do it. But do you want to do it? And until you want to do it, your soul, your heart, is not perfected. Until you have that desire to go with Him another mile, until you have that desire to give Him your cloak and your coat also, you are not perfected in the love of Jesus Christ. If you do it because it's commanded and I can do it, you're working towards that end. But you're not there. And I'm not there. And I dare say I would have trouble doing that. I could do it. But I don't want it to be troublesome when I do it. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not away. Ye have heard it. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. The Lord, when you kneel in prayer, okay, when you kneel in prayer and you ask the Lord to forgive those who despitefully use you and persecute you, do you mean it? Are you doing it because it's a commandment? You know, the Lord knows what your heart is, okay? The Lord knows what you really mean inside. Not what comes out here, but what's in here. Now, if you are verbally saying that to the Lord, just because He commanded it, perhaps your prayer would be better that you can, He would soften your heart to where you really mean it. Perhaps that would be a better prayer. In fact, not perhaps, that would be a better prayer. That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans? Be ye therefore perfected, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Be ye perfected in His love. To where when you kneel in prayer and you offer that up, you mean it. And you feel their hurt and you feel their need. How do you do that? Not with my spirit. Not with my spirit. And not with your spirit. I can guarantee that. The only way that's possible is with the Spirit of Jesus Christ. That He will send. And He will send it. If we're ready to receive it. How many times have you heard in a service, a really good service, boy, we really felt the Spirit there. The Spirit was there. You know? We felt it there. Well, maybe we didn't feel it some other time. Is that right? I mean, think about that. Think about that. You know, if we had a mighty change in our heart and our heart was perfected, it'd be here all the time. We wouldn't have to wait to come in our church building and wait for someone to stand and bear a testimony or deliver an inspired sermon to receive His Spirit. The Spirit's already there. And that Spirit would receive that Spirit and acknowledge it and recognize it. We have to make time for it. We have to make a place for it. We have to give it a chance. More than give it a chance. Give it a place. I'm going to turn into... I marked this because I have a hard time finding Haggai. Put this big orange thing here so I could turn right to it. So I'm going to give you a chance before I start reading out of it. I've read this a lot. I read it a lot because I think it has a lot of meaning. The first chapter, starting with the third verse. I'll start when I quit hearing pages turn. First chapter, third verse, then came the word of the Lord Haggai the prophet, saying, "It is time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses. This house lay waste. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink." Now, you know what he's talking about here. He's talking about us and our meetings in this church and our desire for more spiritual gifts, our need for more spiritual gifts, our desire for more gifts of the Spirit. That's what he's talking about here. "Ye have sown much, and ye bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put in a bag with holes. Thus saith the..." Is that the way it is? Ask yourself, is that the way it is? Do we come, and we all remember those meetings that were special. Very special. And how, "Whoa, I felt the Spirit. I received the Spirit. I had the Spirit." And we walk out the door in a week or maybe 2 days or maybe a month later. Is it a bag with holes? Is it somehow we allowed it to slip out and lose it and whatever? Well, I think so. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build a house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord." He wants us and realizes that we're not going to be in church all the time, and we're not going to be surrounded by people who look the same and think the same and pray the same. He knows that. He knows that we're going to have to go out and earn a living. "But ye looked for much, and it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it, saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is laid waste. And ye run every man into his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit." And I think that means a lot more than material blessings. He's talking about spiritual blessings. Because we don't take that Spirit with us. We don't listen enough to that Spirit when we're out working. I don't do it enough. And I make lots of excuses for myself. "Yeah, I'm too busy. You know, I'm busy. Boy, am I busy. You know, I make myself busy sometimes just to make excuses for myself." That's not the way it works. That's not the way it works at all. If the Spirit can't go with you, if you can't manage to have that Spirit with you at work, at play, when you leave this door 24 hours a day, then there's something wrong. There's some holes someplace. And we cut them. You know, we unraveled that bag. We did it. "And I call for a drought upon the land." Heaven forbid that we have a spiritual drought in this church. Are you or I have a spiritual drought in our life? "Upon the land, upon the mountains, upon the corn, upon the new wine. and upon the oil, and upon all that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon all men, and upon all, upon cattle, and upon all the labors of the land. What's he saying here? Okay? If that Spirit isn't with us at all times, if we don't allow that Spirit to be with us at all times, he's going to take it away from us. We can't, and we shouldn't, turn it on and turn it off. And turn it on and turn it off. I do it. I say, I don't have enough time. You know? I don't have enough time. I'm too busy. I'm not busy. You know? Yeah, I'm too busy with what? My own thoughts. My own ways. I am too busy that way. Not busy enough with the Lord's. I want to turn to Colossians. I'm going to attempt to bring this to a close. Third chapter. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our... I'm reading too fast, right? Becky, you're not doing your job. I'm reading too fast. Okay. If ye thus be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid. Is your life hid? Okay. As you go to work, okay, as you go to work, and you do whatever you do, Randy drives a truck, delivers, right? I go to work, work on cars, sometimes good, sometimes bad, get very greasy. But is my life hid? Do I project that changed heart? Not because I'm happy, you know, I have that smiley face. Is my heart still changed? Is my heart changing? Or do I let it close to the Spirit as I work? For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil, I cannot pronounce that word, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye are put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man. Yeah, that's an easy thing to say, you know. That's an easy thing to say. And if we're just saying it, that's all it is so many words. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, nor circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. There we go. Perfected. Through the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against you, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. Can you do that? I mean, can you honestly do that? Questions. I asked, you know, we started out with three questions. Can you do that? Or do you have to work to do that? Well, if you have to work to do that, you haven't received a mighty change in your heart. Yet. Yet. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. That's how we're perfected. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and in hymns and in spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, that's all the time, isn't it? Is that all the time? Sure looks like all the time. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So I ask you again. Have you experienced a mighty change in your heart? And I will ask it a month from now, and 3 months from now, and 6 months from now, if the Lord allows me to still be here six months from now. I will ask it again. But more importantly, I want you to ask yourself that. And if the question is, I don't know, then the answer is no. Then the answer is no. If your question is, I'm not sure, then the answer is no. If you say, I think so, then the answer is no. I want to be perfected. But I can tell you right now, until my desire is to see you firstly perfected, I'm not there. Until I have that same desire that Christ had to see you firstly perfected and your heart perfected, I'm not there. That's what it's about. That, my friends, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. To where your desire and my desire looks firstly to someone else. Firstly to someone else. We're not there. I want you to think about that. I thank you for your time. I pray that I haven't bored you. And I hope Becky's done her job. Thank you.